A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. The schism between Gregory the VII and Henry the IV. Now, this is one of the great battles in the Middle Ages. In 1075, the stage was set for the confrontation between Gregory the VII and Henry the IV. Henry had finally achieved peace in Germany and now resolved to rid himself of the corrupt archbishop. To the joy of the Milanese, he used the centuries-old rite of investiture to nominate a new archbishop in the place of Anno, who had kidnapped Henry when he was a child. Now, Gregory the VII was enraged. In December, Gregory wrote to Henry and sternly warned him not to interfere. He compared Henry to King Saul of the Old Testament and compared himself to the prophet Samuel. Such arrogance, however, did not suit Gregory at the time. Gregory had too many enemies already because of his militant means of rule. On Christmas Day, while conducting Mass, a Roman nobleman named Cincius attacked and kidnapped the Pope from the church. But this was too much for the people. Gregory was still a Pope, and the Romans could not tolerate such actions, so they stormed Cincius' residence and rescued the Pope, who was finishing Mass. By late that afternoon, Pope Gregory VII was finishing his Mass. In Worms, Henry gathered many bishops for a synod to deal with the Pope, while in Pavia, a group of Italian bishops gathered to condemn the Pope. As this Diet of Worms in January of 1076, Henry deposed Gregory VII with the support of 26 bishops who refused allegiance to the pontiff. Later that year in Pavia, the other group of bishops excommunicated Gregory for illegally separating families. Gregory's response was eventually to lead Germany into civil war. He not only excommunicated Henry IV, but dared to declare Henry IV deposed and further asserted, quote, "I forbid Henry to govern the kingdoms of Italy and Germany. I absolve all of his subjects from every oath they've ever taken or may take, and I excommunicate every person who shall serve him as king," end of quote. Gregory also excommunicated all the bishops that had dared to excommunicate him. So we have a fine mess going on at this particular time. And you understand investiture. If the bishop or archbishop is chosen by someone, that archbishop or bishop will be, you know, in favor of the man who put him in that position. The kings looked upon it as a way of making sure that all of the churches followed what the king wanted done, which is why he wanted to pick all of the people who were bishops and archbishops. But if you're trying to create a universal church, the Pope needs to have the right to select the bishops and the archbishops so that if a king gets out of control, he can use the religious leverage as of telling the people, you no longer have to pay any attention to what he has to say. You're absolved. Or if you follow him, you're damned. You'll be excommunicated too. So you can see the political structure of this, but from the Pope's standpoint, since he did not have the total power that we usually associate with the Pope in Rome today, this is the beginning of that. The result might have come to naught if it weren't for the fact that one-third of the German princes had for power. Now, nothing might have happened, but unfortunately, about a third of the German princes saw this as an opportunity to gain personal power. The nobles and knights took sides. Unfortunately for Henry IV, the Countess of Tuscany, Matilda, was among his enemies. She was also his aunt. Agnes, too, supported the Pope as his mother and was present when the deposition was made. She urged her nephew to reconcile with Gregory. In October, the princes of Germany were ready to vote for a new king, unless Henry could resolve the situation with Gregory by the first of the year. What followed would change history forever. The winter of 1076 and 1077 was so cold that history says the Rhine River itself froze over. It was at this time that Henry undertook the long journey to Italy. No one seems to have known what to expect. When Henry arrived in Italy, he was greeted by a large army of Lombards who offered their services to overthrow the corrupt Pope, but Henry refused. He had not come to conquer, but to reconcile. However, when Gregory heard that Henry had met up with these troops, He assumed the worst and fled to Matilda's castle in Canossa. Upon Henry's arrival, he did not lay siege to the castle, but sued for peace. The Pope believed that he had Henry wherever he wanted him. He ordered Henry to strip himself of his crown and all imperial vestments, to bring them to the Pope directly, to declare himself unworthy, and do penance as directed by the Pope. So Henry approached the castle, where he stripped down to nothing. He was given a rough tunic, which monks used to punish themselves, and told to fast and pray for forgiveness. In the cold snow of the mountains, Henry stood there barefoot for 3 days until he was near death. The Pope still refused to forgive the emperor, but Matilda, the matron of the castle herself, begged the Pope. Henry would die if he stayed out there any longer. It is said that even the soldiers and the knights of Canossa wept for Henry and his devotion. So callous was the Pope that his best friends called him a tyrant. It was not until the fourth day that Henry was brought into the castle. He was then made to swear to submit to the Pope's judgment. He further was told not to exercise his authority until the Pope should return his crown at a time and place to be decided by Gregory. The humiliation did not save Henry's crown, but further jeopardized it. The excommunication was lifted, but the emperor had not regained his crown. In March 1077, Rudolf was elected the anti-king in Henry's place, with the approval of 2 papal legates. Although Gregory was wise enough not to be officially involved, he refused to respond to Henry's request that he condemn the usurpation. Henry had been betrayed, and a civil war now erupted. The Saxons supported Rudolf, but the common people favored Henry. For 3 years, war would rage, and death would fill the coffers because of Gregory's pride. Now, this is a term that happens, it is used quite frequently in the Middle Ages. You're going to Canossa. This is a term that means that you're going to the Pope or you're going to some individual to beg for forgiveness, that you're going to debase yourself in front of them. So it's not a very popular term. But Henry will ultimately get some revenge over this later on. But it's another poor showing for Pope Gregory VII. I mean, he is so power hungry at this point. This is usually couched in the business of who gets to choose the right people to be the bishops and the archbishops, which it is. It's an investiture issue. But the way that Gregory handles this is just awful. And we'll continue next time with the civil wars. I don't want to mix. Sometimes I run these a little short because I just don't want to mix the two together. There's enough to unpack here as it is, let alone adding the mess that's to come. But you can see why suddenly, from all the early shows that I've done, how close everybody was to a unified emperor and a unified area, and then this battle between the church and everything else comes into play, and it gets further and further and further away. It's almost like we start out with the Holy Roman Empire, and then it just keeps falling apart and falling apart as we go along. So next time, we'll deal with this 3-year civil war. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Geary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.